Welcome and good evening to the Loudmouth Radio Network. And this evening's show is The Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. We would like to welcome you to the episode of Yoga and Meditation. This broadcast is a live feed via internet on blogtalkradio.com. Connect with us on facebook.com/loudmouthonline and like our page. Please feel free to post questions and comments on our Loudmouth Radio page on Blog Talk and follow our actual broadcast as we're talking live with the Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. And your host for the evening, Roderick Watkins.
Good evening and welcome to the Universal Mind. This show is about consciousness exploration, emotional mastery, and transformation science in general, the practice using psychology, spiritual teaching, and methods to manifest the life of your choosing. I'm your host this evening, Roderick Watkins. And for all my listeners, if you want to call in, you can call us at 347-826-7520 to listen to the show and as well as answer any questions. If you want to tweet us or Facebook us, you can Facebook us at Loudmouth Network on Facebook. That's L-O-D-D, two D's, Mouth Network on Facebook. Or you can tweet us at Loudmouth on Twitter, L-O-U-D-D, Mouth. Or you can go to our page directly at www.blogtalkradio.com, Loudmouth Radio. And you can reach us directly on the website there. Tonight, we're going to continue our exploration of meditation, and we're going to also talk about the practice of yoga. So let's just do some background checks on yoga, give you a little history. Let me give you a little history or background on what yoga is, the practice of yoga. Now, I found this new site. I mentioned it last week, and I'm just so impressed by this. I love this. But the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they have this organization called the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. So a lot of the things that we'll discuss, our government is actually looking into to see if they have some scientific validity or to actually catch up, right, with what we sort of known intuitively. We have a lot of practitioners of alternative health, or what the Westerners call alternate health. But for a lot of people in the world, it's their regular medicine. This is how they heal themselves, or how they take care of themselves. But anyway, so they have some information here. I'm going to be reading from them. And if you want to go, they actually have a website. Let me see if I have that URL for you. But the center, again, is called the National Center of Complementary and Alternative Medicine. And they do have a website. You can Google them, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it. But it's actually a department established by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So it says, what is yoga? And yoga is a mind and body practice with historical origins in ancient Indian philosophy. Like other meditative practices used for health purposes, various styles of yoga typically combine physical postures, breathing techniques, and meditation or relaxation. This fact sheet provides the basic information, and we're going to just talk about some of the key points of yoga, the scientific research and their effectiveness, and also the safety as well. They've done some recent studies on yoga, and what they've discovered is yoga can help with chronic lower back pain. There has also been studies to indicate that the health benefits, such as reducing heart rate and blood pressure, and also helping to relieve anxiety and depression. So, and these are actual studies, and you can go to the National Center of Complementary and Alternative Medicine, and they actually have the articles up there for you to view as well. And I'm sure our producer, Sunny, she'll Google that for you, or she'll put the link up on the site for us. If you could, Sunny. Thank you. So some other things. Yoga was actually formed in the northwestern Indian continent, and it was formed in about 200 BCE and 500 CE. what we know as classical yoga today. It was actually brought to the West in the 19th century by Swami Vivekananda. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. My Hindi isn't, I'm not an expert in Hindi, but the name again is Swami Vivekananda, and he brought it to the West during the 19th century, in the year 1890. He toured both Europe and the United States, teaching yogic philosophy to the Westerners. And this is where our Western form of yoga comes from today, and what a lot of people are practicing as yoga today in the United States. Yoga, in turn, like I said before, is a combination of breathing exercises and meditation. Last week, we talked about a lot of the benefits of meditation, and we also didn't focus too much on the technique or the various forms. And it turns out that meditation has, there are a lot of different meditative traditions, and yoga is one of those meditations. And I have a couple of guests that will be joining us a little bit later to discuss this with us. And one of them, her name is Jamie Phillips. She's been practicing yoga for well over 2 decades now, I think, or meditation and yoga for about 15 years. And then we also have another yogi, and a yogi, for those of you who aren't aware of, is a practitioner of yoga. They both teach. They're from the West Coast. They'll be joining us from Incline Village in Nevada. I think it's on the border of Nevada and California, and they'll go and talk about this more. What I find so interesting about yoga, and one of the things that I worry about as I get older, is I'm not as flexible physically. You know, and there's this philosophy, or there's a saying that I heard, that your body is a representation of the mind. And so it kind of concerned me, because I consider myself a pretty open-minded individual. And for my body to not be as flexible as my mind is, I wondered if my mind is truly as flexible as I think it is, based on that observation that I don't have that much flexibility. You know, I can't do a split or anything like that. And I work out pretty regularly. But I have to admit, I lack in doing the stretching. I don't incorporate too many stretches or anything into my workout. So anyway, there's this study called neuroplasticity, and it's basically the study of the brain and how it changes or it morphs with our experiences. And I just found this amazing, because But about 20 years ago, that scientists were saying that once we get to a certain age, our mind was basically done with its development. And I think it was, don't quote me on this, is not exact, this is just an approximation, but around the ages of 18 or 20, you know, or it's probably even younger than that, but our brains are basically fixed and locked into this permanent formation. And so all your behaviors, you know, basically it's harder for you to learn new things after that point. Well, modern science, of course, has now proven that this is not true. And this whole new science of neuroplasticity was born. And it turns out that we can, as we learn new experiences, we can create new connections within our brains, and we can unlearn things. We can actually deconstruct how our brain is wired and unlearn things that we had learned or had once been habitual for us. So I thought that was just very, very interesting. And so when I think of yoga and how it has this combination or And I'm sure that my guests, well, once they come on, will be able to elaborate on this more. But for me, not being a practitioner of yoga, I always thought it was just stretching. And now to understand that it's actually this form of meditative exercise used to expand consciousness, you know, it just really blew my mind. And so I had to do a show on it and talk about this, and hopefully, you know, I might start doing some classes myself so that I can gain some flexibility all the way around, mentally and physically. And so I want to bring on our guests. I think they should be available now. And we have we should have Charles West and Jamie Phillips on the line joining us. And I'm just waiting for the cue from my producer. Telling me that the guests are online. Charles, hey, how are you, Charles?
I'm wonderful.
Jamie, do I have you on the line also? Do I have you on the line as well, Jamie? Hello.
Yeah,
hi, Jamie. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Great. So let me introduce you to welcome to the Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. And I wanted to thank you again both for agreeing to do this show. I'm really looking forward to tonight's topic about yoga and meditation. And for our guests, if you want to call in and speak to myself, Charles, or Jamie, you can call in at 347-826-7520, or you can tweet us at loudmouth, L-O-U-D-D-M-O-U-T-H, or we're also on Facebook, and we can take your questions on there as well, at Loudmouth Network. So, again, let me introduce my guests, Charles West and Jamie Phelps. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
So let's start off with, how did you guys get into yoga?
Jamie, you want to start on that one?
Sure. I think in about 1995, I decided to switch from skiing to snowboarding, and I heard yoga was a great way to increase your balance and flexibility, so I started practicing out of poses I found in a magazine.
And
I continued to practice, and eventually I started a daily practice.
And so now you're teaching.
Yes, I've been teaching for almost 11 years now, and really enjoying it.
Okay. And Charles, how did you get into yoga?
You know, for me, it was I was visiting my sister in Durango, Colorado, and she brought me into a hot vinyasa flow yoga class for my first yoga class, and it whooped me. And it was challenging, and I was humbled by the fact that I was shaking like a leaf next to other girls who were solid, or women next to me who were just solid in their practice. And it kind of humbled me and presented a challenge. But really, I didn't pick it up until just a few years ago as a routine practice. And I would kind of compare yoga to something like a martial art, in that, you know, if you take one or two classes, you're not a martial artist. You get a workout of sorts. But when you start practicing on a daily basis and you kind of integrate it into your life, you start to get the deeper, more rewarding benefits. So it's over time for me. You know, about two and a half years ago, I met someone up here that was teaching a yoga class. It happened to be a free yoga class, and I figured I would just drop in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to be the only person to show up that night, so I got pretty much a private session, and that really got me going on the yoga. I think one of the challenges that a lot of people face is that there's all these different postures and yoga teachers that will give the Indian names for the postures and make it a little bit intimidating. It can be a little bit intimidating to go into a class filled with, for instance, beautiful women who are all doing this practice, and they all know what they're doing, and you have no idea. And you're you're trying to follow along, you know. So having this experience of getting this private session kind of out of the blue really got me over that intimidation hump, and I just started attending classes after that, and it's become a more and more regular thing for me ever since.
So now when I think of yoga, and, you know, I ask you guys to excuse me for my ignorance and help correct me here. You know, I always see just the stretching, and you said that it was more intense and it whipped you. So can you explain deeper? So it's more than just stretching, obviously.
Well, I mean, there's all different kinds of yoga, for one. You know, if you were to take, for instance, like a yin yoga class, you might compare that to something like stretching if you were just starting out. If you had been taking yoga classes for years and were kind of an avid practitioner, you might find a deeper meditative spiritual experience out of a yin yoga class where you're holding really deep stretch postures for 5 minutes at a time. But there's, like I said, all different kinds of yoga out there. A lot of it's very strenuous. You know, you're moving a lot, combining your movement with your breath. Certainly working up a sweat in many classes, and I'll still get into poses where I'll be shaken like a leaf because they're hard to hold. Some of these poses are really not easy. They challenge you in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
Both physically and mentally.
So a question for you, Jamie. What is the difference between yoga and meditation, or are they different? Is it the same thing, or can you clarify that?
Yoga is a moving form of meditation, but it's also meant to practice. The asana practice is meant to basically wear the body down and sync the breath with the body and the mind so the mind can lay down when you go to meditate, so the mind can stop talking to you as loudly.
Now, that is really interesting. So we have to wear down the body because is it because our body is generating the thoughts, and so if our body is tired, we could just focus on the meditation itself?
Most of us in the West are very high energy, and our bodies are constantly moving and going, and, you know, this is America, you know. We live in a capitalistic society. We're supposed to be moving constantly. We're always supposed to be talking, thinking, and it creates, you know, mind chatter that goes crazy, and it never stops in our heads, so the idea is that you tax the body really hard, and yoga is a 50-50 sport. It's 50% strength and 50% stretching, and most asanas elicit balance on both sides, balance of strength while balancing flexibility all at the same time. So you're literally taxing your body in both strength and flexibility, while at the same time you're taxing your mind in strength and flexibility, syncing it with the breath. And it is said that the breath controls the mind. So when you slow the breath down and you slow the movement of the body down, the thoughts that are random, wandering chatter, citta vritti is what they call it in Sanskrit, slows down to a stop. So you could actually maybe practice some transcendental where you focus on a focal point until it turns into nothingness and you can transcend. Makes it a little bit easier when you wear the body down, because a lot of times if our body wants to move, our mind won't shut off.
I'm sorry, Rod. Just to add to that real briefly, you had mentioned, you know, you're talking about the mind-body connection before and the way that scientists are starting to come to a new understanding of, you know, neuroplasticity and the mind-body connection. And it's the mind and the body are the same, is what they're finding and what a lot of the current research is really supporting. There's this exchange that's happening between the mind and the body on a molecular level that causes parts of your body, your tissues, to store information just as your mind does. And so through the practice of yoga, and a lot of people, you know, there's all different kinds of yoga out there, but there's yoga out there to heal people from past experiences that they've had, current illnesses that they're experiencing as well, and just to keep you strong to prevent, you know, it's like preventative medicine as well.
So is yoga a religion?
yoga is the science of the self. It is the science of the self. That's the definition.
Love that. Yoga is
it's the science of the self, looking inward to ask all of our questions.
All right. So then it is not a religion, but it's more of a way of life, a philosophy to live by?
You can also pair it with your religion. It doesn't argue with religion. You can actually use it to enhance your religion and your own spiritual self within your own religion because of the fact that it's the science of the self. You're going inward. It actually enhances your belief system.
Oh, no, that's great. No, so it's complementary. It's not competitive. You don't have to feel like you're cheating on your God.
Right. No, you don't have to
feel like that. Believing in false idols or something like that. Because in yoga, you see a lot of these symbols and different things like that, and a lot of people might not understand what the symbols represent. Like, I know the main symbol of yoga is Om, and you see that a lot, and that might...
And a lot of people won't chant. So sometimes if you come to my class and we're going to chant, I might encourage you to say amen instead.
Oh, no, that's
interesting. It sounds an awful lot like Om.
It's kind of a funny story, Rod. I was talking to my mom not too long ago, and she's kind of old school Christian, and she knows that I practice yoga and that I'm, in teacher training and all this. And she was at her church talking to one of her friends about this. And her friend told her that yoga is very dangerous because it's the practice of emptying your mind. And if you empty your mind, then there's room for the devil to get in.
That's awesome.
It's funny. It sounds like I've heard that before. Like from my mom. So she's really skeptical, which is interesting because she introduced me to a lot of alternative ways. So, but yeah, I can hear that being said. Although that was when I was younger. My mom is actually a very progressive woman.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconception about what yoga is, and challenging people's religious beliefs and that kind of a thing. So,
I agree with you on that, and I think what we'll find is science, spirituality, religion. I think we're moving into an age where we're learning how to communicate with each other across all these branches of understanding the universe. Mm-hmm. They're simply just different perspectives of describing the unknown, things that we can't possibly understand. And if we respect all of them, we open ourselves up to a richer view of the universe and understanding the reality that we live in. So with that, I just want to so how many forms of yoga are there or practices in yoga?
Geez, I don't know. I mean, I am trained, I would like to say, in 8 different things. But to be perfectly honest, every yoga experience is different with every teacher. So that being said, there's probably hundreds of thousands of different forms of yoga. Your yoga is your yoga practice. It's not my yoga practice,
Oh, wow. So that's
yoga is kind of a nebulous term in the United States. It's like saying martial arts, It's like, well, there's karate, there's judo, there's taekwondo, there's MMA, there's boxing, there's jiu-jitsu, there's all these different things. Yoga's kind of the same way. And then not only that, you have all these different schools with all these different teachers that learn from different, gurus or masters who are teaching something slightly different or, and then you have yoga practices that are very physical and strenuous. I mean, I saw a yoga for mountain bikers class, and it was really about building your cardio strength and that kind of a thing, And every class is different. And this is where I'm going to put on my yoga advocacy hat and say, I would encourage everybody to practice yoga. And if you take a class and you don't like it, take a different class. Go to another teacher. Go to another school. There's so many forms, and there's so many great people out there offering so many great things in yoga, that I think it's good to kind of shop around your experience. And even after you've found a good teacher, it's great to go find other great teachers, you know?
Right. So is there a common philosophy maybe behind that combines all the yoga? Is there like a fundamental philosophy that you guys follow, or are there any texts or doctrine?
The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali is the yoga Bible. The Bhagavad Gita is huge as far as yoga is concerned. However, the physical asana practice is something that yogis have just been creating as ways to find other means to force their minds and their bodies to lay down for meditation. The only yoga pose mentioned in the Yoga Sutras is lotus, the one we sit in to meditate. So everything else that's come thereafter has just been for the one intention of wearing the body down so the mind can meditate.
Okay. And when you do this meditation, is there a certain way you breathe, or how you're not meditating during the actual stretching? During the actual exercise, you're just worried about the body. I teach Raja Yoga,
and it includes eight limbs. It's yama, niyamas, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Basically, yama is abstinence, niyama is observance, asana is posture, pranayama is breath work or breath control. Pratyahara is withdrawal of the senses. That's taking your five physical senses and turning them inward, basically on the outer edge of the surface of your skin, everything down to the center core of your physical being, and basically scanning and becoming aware of your body and the way you transmit and receive energy through that, through your senses. And then there's dharana is concentration, dhyana is meditation, and samadhi is, you know, when you obviously transcend in meditation. And I teach this in all of my classes. And I teach it in different ways, commonly with one theme for each class. It's usually a different theme each time. And I start off with a dharana practice where we set a concentration for the practice. It seems like a meditation because of the way I start you off. We set the intention of what we're going to concentrate on during that particular practice. I pick really small concepts because classes are usually an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, and the mind can only concentrate on so much in one class. And then I often add to that pranayama, which is breath control. So we start practicing different ways to change and manipulate our breath, which elicits detoxification in the body, the way we work with our breath. And it also kind of starts working with the mind already and kind of attaching it to our dharana, which is our concentration for the practice. And so then we start doing physical posturing, and we usually continue with the pranayama throughout. Sometimes I'll teach one class where we're really focusing on pratyahara, bringing the senses inward. Sometimes I'll focus on, like, one of our chakras. You know, sometimes I'll focus on all of them. Sometimes we'll just focus on present moment awareness or something simple like that. Sometimes our concentration is purely physical. There's also the physical sheaths of the body. So sometimes we'll focus on those or the different layers. And then it all boils down to making the asana practice support the concentration. So the posturing that I do is geared towards supporting our area of concentration, what we're concentrating on. So then when we finish our physical practice, then oftentimes in my classes you will lie down for meditation if it's only 5 or 10 minutes. And it seems to flow and come full circle, and then the meditation completely makes sense when we've used the dharana, the focus, the concentration throughout the entire practice.
Okay.
Just a quick mention on pranayama or breath control. It's not an uncommon concept or one that's localized strictly to yoga. I mean, women have been giving birth and practicing breathing exercises, you know, for centuries, thousands of years. I don't know how long. I don't know when it started, but you know, breath control releases endorphins, floods your body with peptides, has this real biological effect that has been proven, not only just historically through experience, but now in labs. You know, we're finally starting to accept this as a science. And so the breath work itself can bring you into amazingly blissful states just by breath control alone.
We're going to expound on that a little bit more, Charles. I just want to take a moment to welcome my listeners to The Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. You're listening to Jamie Phelps and our yogi Jamie Phelps and yogi Charles West as we talk about yoga and meditation. If you want to call in and ask a question and speak with our guests, you can call in at 347-826-7520. Or you can tweet us on Twitter at loudmouth, that's L-O-U-D-D, two D's, M-O-U-T-H. Or we're also on Facebook at loudmouth, L-O-U-D-D, M-O-U-T-H network. If you're going to tweet us, also use hashtag the universal mind. So now you were saying the actual benefits. So, yeah, what do I get out of this? How is this going to help me in my everyday life? What are some of the practical uses of yoga?
It increases your range of motion.
Right. And just to put the advocacy hat back on real quick, you know, Rod, you were talking about flexibility and not having flexibility. Not only can you become more flexible in your physical self, you can, you know, become more flexible in your spiritual self and your mental self as well. On a very tangible level, you want to build your strength, your agility, your stamina, your balance, your focus, all the qualities that make you an impressive athlete. You know, those are very tangible aspects and benefits that you'll get out of yoga. But I think that, you know, a lot of people start out there, and once they get a little bit deeper, they start to get some of the transcendental effects, some of the spiritual effects. Which is really the common path, you know. It's just like, and I keep making this analogy to martial arts. You know, a lot of martial artists will say, "Well, once you've gotten your black belt, that's really when you begin. You know, that's when you really start your study." And I think the same can kind of be said for yoga, in that, you know, you can start out with a purely physical practice and get all kinds of benefit out of it. The longer you stick with it, the more that you stick with it, the more deep it will get, the more you'll start to understand more, the more you'll see, and the more benefit you'll get out of it.
Okay. Jamie, now I've heard this word brought up a couple of times, transcendental meditation. What is transcendental for our listeners that aren't aware of what that is?
Well, transcending is the ultimate goal of meditation. Meditation is really just practicing controlling the thoughts in your mind. And transcending is what happens, it's samadhi, it's what happens when you achieve the goal of meditation. Oftentimes when it happens to you, you can't describe it with words. You come out of your meditation knowing that you lost time, you went somewhere, you felt at one with everything around you and everything inside you. And it's like, I mean, that's describing it with words, which, you know, doesn't do it any justice. And there's really no other way, I don't think, that I can actually describe that other than it's the ultimate goal of meditation, and when you get there, you'll know it.
Now, I just had a question come in over from what somebody on from Twitter, and I'm sorry, it's not just somebody. It's Jackie. Thanks for listening. She says, is hot yoga better than any other type of yoga method?
It really depends on what you like and where you're at physically. If you have high blood pressure, hot yoga probably isn't necessarily something that you want to do. If you have low blood pressure, hot yoga might really be something that you want to go into. It really depends, and it also depends on what kind of hot yoga you're doing.
Okay. And what, for our listeners, what is hot yoga?
It's when somebody turns the temperature up to about 104 degrees and they're trying to mock the so-called regular temperatures of India and create that heat experience, you know, to warm up your energetic layer, your physical layer. your water layer and emotional and mental as well.
Okay, so the whole purpose behind it is to mimic the environment of India. So we turn the heat up, and then you practice yoga up under that, in those conditions, rather.
Well, that's how some of it started. The traditional hot yoga, Bikram yoga, was created that way. They were intending to mock the temperatures, which are actually hovering around 98, but they'll oftentimes turn the heat up to 104 degrees. You do 26 poses, the same 26 poses every single time in an hour and a half long sequence, basically.
Yeah, so the Bikram yoga is really what made hot yoga popular in the United States, and it's 26 static poses. So you hold a pose, you're not moving, you're not flowing. You hold the pose, and you breathe, and you hold it for 2 minutes, you go on to the next one. And now what you see a lot of is hot vinyasa flow or different types of hot yoga where you're actually moving, you're combining your breath with your movement in a hot environment. I love hot yoga personally. I always leave feeling kind of detoxified and purified, and it's extra hard because of the heat. And it allows me to stretch a little bit deeper and open up a little bit more, I think. But then at the same time, you can build that heat internally without having the external heat. I mean, I've done yoga in the cold before and broken a sweat all the same.
Interesting. So what are some of the how has yoga helped you in your regular everyday life, Jamie? I was reading your bio, and it says you have four kids, and so I'm assuming, you know, for all our mothers out there, how do you find the time to even do yoga?
Well, it's been a daily practice for me for so long that it was kind of when I first had my very first child, I was running the rat race. I was, you know, working 10 hours a day, and then all of a sudden I was at home with this baby, and I was used to having, you know, adult conversation and stimulation throughout the day, and suddenly I was secluded in a small environment up in Tahoe with a whole bunch of snow around me. So, you know, not a lot of opportunity to get out with a newborn, you know, and do things outside, outdoors. So I think knowing that I could wake up every morning and do my own practice really set like my mental state, my mental balance for the day. It made it a lot easier for me to calm down and actually want to be home. I think quite frankly, I live in a chaotic environment with four children, and sometimes it's the only thing that allows me, you know, to calm down and feel like a normal human being rather than someone whose attention is being scattered amongst four different people, you know, throughout my day. But I would say pretty much for anybody, whether you have children or not, there's so many aspects of your life that it can touch on, both, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think it's made me a pretty well-grounded, stable individual, and that's not an easy thing for anyone with four kids to say, so.
So you necessarily don't have to be trying to transcend, as you say, or expand into some higher level of consciousness for yoga to be practical for you.
Basically, I mean, it's not always perfect for me. I've done a lot of yoga with my kids crawling underneath me. I've sat in meditation and had a kid jump in my lap and start singing Itsy Bitsy Spider, and I just had to ignore what she was doing and keep going with my meditation that I was doing, and just accept whenever you do any sort of meditation practice, you have to remember not to judge what happens. Maybe you're going to transcend, maybe you're not, but you're not sitting down with the intention of actually transcending. That's like a side effect. Just like practicing yoga. A lot of us don't really do it because we want really nice bodies, but we end up with really nice bodies. It's a side effect of our physical practice. So
I
you can't
like
really
that.
Judge the practice itself. You have to just take it for what it is that day and be present with it. So maybe you didn't transcend. Maybe you couldn't turn off your grocery list in your mind that day. but you noticed that you did, and that's okay because you still did the practice. You still attempted to control the wandering random thoughts in your head.
Oh, that great commercial. So it'd be Vibrant Health Yoga, and the side effects are transcendent relaxation.
Yes.
and loss of depression. I love that. We need more commercials like that for sure.
Oh, that's funny. I couldn't think of a commercial, so you're going to have to record that for me.
JB and Charles, is there any way that people can get in contact with you? Like, do you have Twitter, Facebook, or any way that they can reach out to you?
I have a Facebook account, and that's pretty much it. You know, I have an email address, a phone number.
Yeah.
I make all that stuff public. All of my students can contact me whenever they want to with questions about anything, so I'm pretty much open and available.
You want to give them your email then?
Sure.
Okay.
You want me to say it?
So that if they have any questions, they can reach out to you. Our listeners can reach out to you about yoga, and we'll post it on our site as well.
Okay. It's just yogijamie9@gmail.com.
Okay. And what about you, Charles? Do you have any?
I'm charles.west at gmail.com, and that's
okay.
You can find me on Facebook in the same way.
Okay, and what about you on Facebook, Jamie?
I am Jamie Hefner Phelps on Facebook. That's the best way to find me, and I don't think that email address is attached to it, but you can find it through that name.
Great. So we're... Charles, you were mentioning earlier about some of the physical benefits, and you were talking about how it's actually changing us mentally and physically. And you know, I was reading about neuroplasticity, and I actually I have fallen in love with this new site, and I keep pubbing them. Maybe I should see if we could get some advertisement from them. But the National Center of Complementary and Alternative Medicine, which was formed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. You know, I always find it interesting when the government is looking into these things as well, or that, you know, that they're getting this type of attention, which I think is, they should be, because they're valid for a lot of people, or a lot of people are practicing these forms of meditation and somebody should chart the benefits of them. But one of the things they were talking about was how we could actually shape or reshape the configuration of our brains by creating new neural network or new neural network links or disabling old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were talking about that in regards, how does yoga help with that?
Oh, you know, I think Jamie is best suited to answer this question. She can tell you about the samskaras and how yoga is here to help us burn those away.
We've
had some wonderful conversations about it before, and she's definitely the expert here. Jamie doesn't only teach yoga; she's a healer as well. So it's this is part of what she does.
Okay.
Yes, I can. In yoga, we basically believe intelligence does not live in the mind. The brain doesn't hold memories. We don't believe that. We believe that the only thing that exists memory-wise is muscle memory. So if something bad happens to you, like you're in a car accident,
uh-huh,
you clench in a whole bunch of places when that happens. Your body tightens in several places. You actually hold the emotion of the memory of what happened to you in every single cell of your body that contracted when that happened. So you might be moving through a physical asana practice, and you might be touching those areas, opening and closing. And when I say we're doing 50% strength, 50% flexibility, we're doing this to every cell of our body, not just muscle groups. It's occurring
Let me stop you there real quick so I can make sure that everybody is on this ride that we're getting ready to go, because I think we're getting ready to go on a ride here. So you're saying that All our physical, all our emotions are basically physically stored within the cells of our body, so that, say, for instance, like the car crash, and a certain part of our body was impacted. That's where the memory is stored. It's stored in those cells.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when we do yoga, and we do the forms and the positions that you're talking about, if we happen to move where it activates those cells or those cells are impacted, that memory will be released?
Yes. And that's what we're working to do, is release that memory, or at least bring it out and get present with it and notice that it's there. Because as things happen to us throughout our lives, whether it's a physical accident or we have an emotional upset or something like that, we're clenching somewhere, we're holding. We're creating samskaras, which a lot of people define as neural pathways, that they're actually held in our entire physical body from crown to foot. And so we're working to kind of touch those, to open, to contract and expand those cells to release that energy.
Uh-huh.
And then we can... And then we can find awareness. And a lot of times when stuff like that happens to us and we have certain parts of our bodies that are tense, it makes our behavior patterns kind of follow suit with our body. So,
yeah.
Like after you get in a car accident, every time you hear the silverware drawer slam, you clench again. You know, you automatically react in that way. Same thing emotionally. Someone hurts you, and then you end up involved with another person. That person hurts you in a similar way. Maybe it's not even the same exact way, but you're holding that defense, that automatic clenching. You react in a certain way because your behavior is kind of subject to, you know, reacting based on that samskara that was created in your body from whatever. And we're all carrying this, you know, even from being born, even from the experience of being birthed.
Wow. So us actually moving could trigger emotional responses and memories that we haven't let go of.
What's actually moving?
So
I think
some
of that stuff is stagnant and we're unaware of it. So it's in the practice of yoga, we don't really... It's there, but, you know, we might go through a session and you might get in a pose and want to cry. And maybe you know why, maybe you don't know why. Maybe you're taking the time to get present with it and notice it. If you get present with it and notice it, maybe it's easier for you to let it go next time that issue pops up in your life.
Wow, that is just interesting. So it makes me think, and I'm sorry, I get right back with you, Charles, but I had a massage one time, and there was just this one area where they were, you know, just going in real hard, and because I was just so tense. And then I actually had some tears from the event, but I don't know if it was because they were actually hurting me, or, you know, I didn't know why. I didn't feel like that I was in that type of pain. It felt more. I wonder if it was just more mental now, or maybe something had been triggered when they hit that spot. So, can it represent itself as physical pain, the trauma?
All of the above.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, I'll oftentimes get into a pose in a yoga class, and I'll start feeling anxiety, and I don't know why. But I do know why. You know, I may not be able to put a finger on the actual trauma that occurred or something, but I know that I'm releasing this anxiety from my body, from being in a particular pose. It was stored there for some reason, and I'm allowing it to be released. And it's not uncommon for, you know, to see kind of people breaking down in yoga classes, shedding tears, experiencing emotional release. Because it can bring that about. And I wanted to drop a book called Molecules of Emotion by a PhD, Candace B. Pert. She was featured in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, which is a wonderful movie. But
yes.
the science that she is uncovering, and you know, a big part of her contribution is showing how the mind-body connection is one and the same. And just like Jamie was saying, you can experience a trauma, your body clenches. There's actually, on a molecular level, your body is being flooded with peptides, and you have receptors for these peptides on all of your cells in your body. And you know, you might have a heavier concentration of these receptors in one part of your body versus another, and they'll bind to these peptides, and it literally changes the physiology of your body. And this is how these traumas are stored, not only in your mind, not only in your brain, but in your body itself. And they're backing this up, you know, with solid science at this point. It's no longer, you know, it's just speculation.
Man, I'm still blown over here. I'm just thinking about the fact that I'm carrying all my emotional trauma in different parts of my body, and that if somebody touches me, or if I trigger that, I can trigger that experience by a certain way that I move. That is really, I think that's profound, and definitely a new form of therapy. Well, not a new form of therapy, obviously, since yoga has been practiced since 200 BCE, right? So, but the fact that we are, that is just really amazing. So I just want to give you, I know you guys are actually on your way to teaching the class soon, so just want to give you guys enough, thank you again for being on the show, and let me see if we have any callers. I'm waiting for the word from my producer before we get out of here. Do we have any callers on the line, Sonny? And I will take that as a not at this time. okay. Well, again, I just want to invite my guests, because we got a couple of more minutes here, and you're listening to The Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. My guests tonight are Charles West and Jamie Phillips. These are we're discussing yoga and meditation, and they've been going over the practicalities of yoga, the practical uses in our everyday life, the benefits from releasing stress to expanding consciousness to transcendence. I mean, we've touched a lot in this short amount of time. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add, Jamie?
Well, I would like to touch on the benefits, because the American Medical Association has been deep into the study of yoga for quite some time, and you can find several studies posted on their website about the many benefits. Some of the things they have studied is that it regulates blood pressure, whether you're up or down. It improves circulation and stimulates metabolism. It increases range of motion through strength, flexibility, and balance. It decreases the respiratory rate through a combination of controlled breathing exercises and better fitness, improving oxygenation into the body. It stimulates the detoxification process within the body, builds cardiovascular endurance, massages the internal organs, improving the ability to prevent disease. We're always massaging our organs in yoga. It's been known to boost the immune system, reduce anxiety, create overall stronger health and well-being. It can improve your gastrointestinal functions, your posture, your sleep patterns, back tension, cholesterol, lymphatic system, endocrine functions, muscle tone, lung capacity and function, hand-eye coordination, and depth perception. It's been used to reduce and alleviate symptoms from heart disease, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, carpal tunnel syndrome, asthma, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, cancer, muscular dystrophy. It helps with migraines, scoliosis, chronic bronchitis, epilepsy, sciatica, OCD, allergies, menopause, and depression. And all
and
of those are studies that the AMA has done.
How would you want to do yoga?
Where can we get that information? Jamie, if you would send me that link so that I can post it on the site. And I just want to thank you guys again. I hope you have a great class this evening. I'm going to have you on again. I feel like we just touched the surface of this.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about chakras or the energy system, so, and how that relates to the glandular system.
So then I could take that as you guys would be willing to come back and discuss this in depth with me in the future episode?
Sure, I would love to discuss chakras and the energy system within yoga.
Well, and are you familiar with Ayurveda as well? Is that all a part of the Ayurveda?
I am familiar with it. I'm not a practitioner, but I have a practitioner, so yes.
Okay. I have a good friend. I'm doing a not next week, but in the coming months, we're going to be doing a episode on holistic medicine, so that one should be interesting, and we'll discuss that.
Wonderful.
But yeah, it looks like we have a show. My producer is flagging me now. She's like, we're going to do a show on chakras and energy, Rod. She's telling me that. So I'm going to tap you for that one as well, Jamie. All right.
That's one of my favorite topics. So
great. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming on to the Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins. You guys are the best. Thank you, Charles, for introducing me to Jamie, and just really appreciate you guys. And again, we'll post your information on our page so that people can get in contact with you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good class tonight.
Thanks for having us on the
show, Rod. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, listeners, you have been listening to The Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins, and we had a great discussion tonight regarding yoga and meditation, and I just want to thank my guests again, Charles West and Jamie Phillips, for explaining to us yoga, and it looks like we're going to hear from them again and learn some other interesting things. Join us next week as I bring on Felicia Leatherwood, and we're going to talk about appearance and the mind, how our physical appearance affects our outlook and perspective on our reality. And this woman, she's brilliant. She's a good friend of mine. And so I'm looking forward to that episode next week. And that's about appearance and the mind. And thank you again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. This is Universal Mind on the Loudmouth Radio Network. Guys, have a good evening. And remember to just always do your best. Do your best. Good night.
This has been a show for the Universal Mind with Roderick Watkins, live on Loudmouth Radio. Loudmouth Radio is one of the Internet's hottest online radio networks. Our talk radio shows cover topics that are geared towards empowerment, inspiration, and entertainment. Connect with us live, online, and on demand 24/7 on loudmouthradio.com and share with us your thoughts of what inspires you. Feel free to download and archive this show after each live broadcast after 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each Monday. Once again, this actual broadcast is available for demand 24/7 on blogtalkradio.com/loudmouthradio. This has been a broadcast of a live feed, Internet, on blogtalkradio.com. Please connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/loudmouthonline. For all of our people that may have interest in regards to advertising, we have some fantastic rates that are available. Please make sure to contact us at 706-363-3895. We're available from Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We appreciate everyone listening in tonight, and you be blessed, love, and light.